Book of Genesis, you'll find our scripture reading again tonight. Book of Genesis, chapter 4, we've been looking at some of the firsts in the Bible over these past number of Lord's Day evenings. The law first mention, as we have considered it in different forms. And we're coming this evening to this chapter, fourth chapter. We're in this chapter a few Thursday nights ago in our prayer meeting. We're coming back to tonight to look at the first mention of the blood. The blood. We're going to read from verse number 9. Genesis chapter 4 in the verse 9. Cain has risen up and killed his brother Abel. Verse 9 says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." Amen. We'll end there at the verse 14. And the words of verse number 10 will form the basis of what we want to look at this evening by the help of God. And he said, "What hast thou done?" This is the Lord speaking here to Cain. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Let's just seek God's face, please, in a word of prayer as we come to his word tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us and for help given. But Heavenly Father, tonight, now we just come to thee and we acknowledge again just how much we need thee. Our weakness, our infirmities. Heavenly Father, tonight we need thy help. Lord, vain is the help of man. And therefore, O God, we pray that tonight you'll come and speak, Lord, we ask of thee, far beyond the voice of this preacher, far beyond the voice of any man. Heavenly Father, tonight speak. Speak with thy voice. Bless us, Lord, as we consider these verses before us this evening. We ask, O God, that this night, that there will be no hiding place for the unconverted sinner. Lord, tonight for those who are trying to hide and cover their sin. Heavenly Father, tonight we pray that thy word will find them out. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, through the gospel of saving grace, that they will be brought to Christ. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Adam and Eve, even in their fallen state, had sought to instruct and to teach their children to worship God. Before their fall into sin, they had learned to worship God. Before the curse came, because of sin, they were taught the importance of true and proper admiration and worship of God. And as you read through the opening verses of chapter number 4, you'll see that it was still their intention, even in their fallen state, still to teach and to instill within their children that desire to worship God as well, that need to worship God. And in the process of time, that teaching and that training and the importance of worship was instilled within the hearts of Cain and Abel. Because as we read in these opening verses, if we had taken time to read them tonight, we will see Cain and Abel coming to worship God by way of a sacrifice. They came to acknowledge God. However, we all know that they came different ways and they came with different sacrifices. For Abel, he came the right way. The true and the proper worship of God was kept for Abel. However, for Cain, he came his own way. And he came with the efforts of God. He came presenting to God that which he felt of himself was acceptable. And so in Genesis chapter 4, we see more of these firsts in the Bible that we've been thinking about over these past number of weeks. We see the first worshippers here in Genesis chapter 4. We see the first sacrifice. And as we go through this chapter, and particularly towards the end of this chapter, we will see the first false religion. But it is another first that we want to consider this evening. It is the first case of murder. You see, Genesis chapter 3, as we were considering it last week, gives us the root of sin. Now as we come into Genesis chapter 4, we now see the fruit of sin. Because Cain brought his own sacrifice, was rejected by God, and he became angry and wroth with God, because God did not accept his sacrifice, and yet he accepted the sacrifice of Abel. And this anger led him to take the life of his own brother. You know, it's amazing, actually, when you think about it, that one minute Cain is offering a sacrifice to God, and the next he's taking the life of his own brother. Such is the latent power of sin within the heart of all people. But Cain was not getting off the hook now, because God came to him and God questioned him, just as he did with his parents as they fell in the Garden of Eden. He asked questions of Cain. In verse number 9 he says, Where is Abel thy brother? God asked questions not for information purposes. God knew exactly what was happening and what had just happened. But he asked Cain this question, where is Abel thy brother, to give him an opportunity to confess and to deal with his sin. And on two occasions he gives Cain this opportunity to repent and to own up to what he has done. But he didn't do so. He tried to hide his sin. He tried to cover his sin. But the Lord comes to him in verse number 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Cain, if you're not going to tell me with your own words what you have done, then the voice of your brother's blood, whom you've just slain, speaks very clearly and very powerfully to me. Here is the first mention of blood in the Bible. And as with the other first that we've looked at in the past, this first mention deserves special attention. Because, as we will see, it is foreshadowing, depicting in other blood. That blood, of course, which is central to the whole economy of salvation, the blood, not of Abel, but the blood of another shepherd. The blood of the great shepherd, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which lies at the very heart of the gospel. As we think of the blood this evening, as we have it here in these verses, there are some plain, simple thoughts, I trust, that we want to consider as we look at this first mention of the blood this evening in the gospel. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the speaking voice of the blood. In verse number 9, The Lord speaks about how the blood of Abel speaks to the Lord. There's a voice that is heard, and it's not Cain's voice. It's the voice of the blood of Abel. You see, there was no need for forensic science or investigations into what had happened. God knew, and the blood spoke. It revealed all that Cain had done. And Cain's sin lay exposed. He tried to hide it, as his parents did. But sin found him out. And the blood stains on the ground of his now dead brother spoke to God and spoke of Cain's sin. Sin upon sin within there a very few verses. One sin led to another sin. He killed, he broke the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And then in verse number 9, he lied. He broke the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. And he says, I know not. I don't know where my brother is. Of course he knew where his brother was. But you see, sin always leads to other sin. You commit one sin, then you have to commit more sins in order to try to cover it up. But it was futile. It was a vain exercise because God knew it all and the voice of the blood revealed exactly what had happened. Man hasn't changed. Because man still tries to hide his sin. Man still tries to hide from God. Man still believes that God doesn't see the wickedness and the vileness of his heart. Oh, see the mercy and the grace of God there in verse number 9. When the Lord gives Cain an opportunity to repent and to own up to what he has done. To acknowledge that he was a sinner. That is exactly what the Lord was wanting of Cain. To acknowledge what he had done, to acknowledge his sin. And you know, that is the first step in salvation. You will never be saved till you come to that point when you realize before a holy God that all is seen to him and that you are a sinner before him. You will never be saved, you'll never be right with God, you'll never be in God's heaven if first of all you don't acknowledge before God that you are a sinner. That is what God was wanting Cain to admit to. I'm a sinner, I've sinned, I've broken thy law. But Cain was too proud. Cain was too hard-hearted to admit his sin. There are many Cains tonight. Many Cains across our land and across this city. Too proud to admit that they're a sinner. Oh, you say, I've never killed anybody. I've never killed my brother. I've never killed anybody or committed any of these awful crimes. Well, you may not have broken that particular commandment. But a few weeks ago, we were thinking about the law and the gospel. You break any one of those commandments, you've broken them all. And by nature, we have broken the law of God. But the problem is, you're too proud to admit that before God you're a sinner. You're too proud tonight to acknowledge that you are a sinner. You're too proud of your own self-righteousness. And you think you can pull the wool over people's eyes, and you think you can pull the wool over the Lord's eyes. You just live on as you please. Oh, I would never admit that I'm a sinner. Is there a Cain in this meeting tonight? And you're too proud to acknowledge that before God you've sinned, and before God you've done wrong. You see, what was happening was that the blood from the ground was rising up to condemn Cain. The blood was speaking condemnation. It passed a sentence of death upon Cain. We'll go on in a moment to consider the blood of Jesus Christ in connection with this verse. Tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin. But listen tonight, if you still are in your sin and meet God still in your sin, that blood which would have cleansed you from your sin will rise up to condemn you for your sin. And on the day of judgment, as you stand before God to give an account of the deeds done in the body, that you've rejected the blood of Jesus Christ, trampled under feet the blood of Jesus Christ, That blood which tonight would have cleansed you will rise up to condemn you and damn you to lost eternity. That's what's happening here. The blood is rising up to condemn Cain for a sin. He was given opportunity to repent. He was given an opportunity to admit and to acknowledge his wrongdoing. But he refused to do it. And the blood rose up to condemn him. Remember, this is Abel's blood, of course, in verse number 10. And there are, I believe, contrasts between Abel and Christ. Abel was a shepherd, so was Christ, the great shepherd. Abel was hated of his brother, so was Christ hated of his brethren. Abel died a violent death. We don't know the circumstances, but it certainly wasn't a natural death. It was a violent death. We read there at the end of verse 8 that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. It was a violent death. Christ on the cross died an awful death at the hands of wicked and evil men. Abel was innocent of all crime. Abel done nothing wrong. Abel came the right way. Abel did that which was required of him. He was innocent. So was Christ. Not guilty. Not guilty of any crime. He died the just for the unjust. And how interesting, in the light of all of those contrasts, that the blood of Abel spoke to God. You see, the blood always speaks Godward first of all. Why? Why did God say to Cain, "Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground"? Why? Because it was God who was offended. It was God's law which had been broken. It was a holy God who had been offended by what had taken place there in verse number 8. And so for the blood to be effective, it must first of all speak to God. But there's a difference between the blood of Abel and the blood of Christ. Because over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writing to those Hebrew believers, we don't have time to go into that whole chapter, even that book. It's a tremendous book, speaking of Christ. And it says, "The blood of sprinkling which speaketh better things than that of Abel's." The blood of sprinkling, what's the reference to there in Hebrews 12? Well, of course, the reference is to the blood of Christ. It speaks, but it speaks better things than that of Abel's. Why? Because you see, Abel's blood cried out for revenge. When that voice that was heard in the ears of God from the ground, from the blood of Abel, it cried out to God, "Avenge Cain for my death. Deal with him in justice." It called for vengeance. It called for recompense. It called for retaliation. Thank God tonight the blood of Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, that covenant which was ratified and sealed and confirmed by the blood of Christ, it speaks better things. Why? Because it speaks peace. It speaks pardon. It speaks to God on the behalf of sinners, and it pleads not for vengeance, but it pleads for mercy. It pleads not to condemn the sinner, but rather, that condemnation which was the sinner's due has been appeased. It speaks peace. It says to God that your wrath and your justice has been satisfied through my death, through Christ's death. Abel's blood cried to God for vengeance. Christ's blood cries tonight for peace. Abel's blood cried for vengeance because Cain was hard-hearted. Cain refused to acknowledge what he had done and refused to acknowledge his sinnership before a holy God. But tonight, for the believing, repentant sinner who will take their station humbly at the foot of the cross and come to God and acknowledge, O God, before thee, I have sinned. Lord, be propitious to me. Save me, cleanse me, wash me in the blood. That blood of Christ cries for peace. Thank God for every redeemed soul in this meeting tonight, that day when the blood was applied to our hearts. That blood speaks better things than that of Abel's tonight. Sinner in this meeting tonight, by nature you're condemned under the wrath of God, but the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. It speaks peace to your soul. If you will but come the way of the cross and come to Christ. There is the speaking voice of the blood. But as we come into verse number 11, I want you to see as well here the severe verdict because of the blood. Look at verse 10. He, that is God, said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now, here's the verdict. Verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Here's the verdict passed now because of the blood. The blood of Abel. The blood of the broken law of God rose up to condemn and to curse Cain. That was the verdict. That was the verdict passed upon him and all who would follow in his line and in his seat. Here is the Lord saying exactly what the blood of Abel cried out and what it said. Notice something. Notice that this sentence is passed in verse 11 at the very place and at the very time that the crime was committed. God was making it clear to Cain, because of your sin, Cain, you're condemned. Because of what you've just done, you're condemned. People ask today, why am I condemned? Why am I under the wrath and the curse of God? It's because you've broken the law of God. And God was making it clear here to Cain. You've sinned, you've broken my law, now you're cursed. Sinner, in this meeting tonight, God makes it clear in his word, makes it clear through his preachers, through others witnessing to you, that it's your sin that condemns you. There's only one thing that will keep you out of heaven, and it's your sin. There's one thing that will damn you in a lost eternity, and it's your sin. Cain had sinned. God was holding him personally accountable for his sin. He wasn't escaping. He wasn't getting away with it. I don't know what the time frame was between Abel being killed and Cain coming to the Lord to confront him with what he had done. We're not told that. But I'm sure that Cain thought in his mind when he took his brother's life, I'm going to get away with this. I'm going to flee. Nobody has seen it. Nobody has seen what I've just done. It'll be all right. But God found him. God challenged him. You see, sinner, tonight your sin will always find you out. Your sin will condemn you and curse you. In fact, right now, as we have sought to show over recent times, that sentence that came upon Cain that day for his sin is upon you tonight as well. Tonight you're cursed. Tonight you're under the condemnation of God. The verdict has already been passed. You're guilty. You see, condemnation tonight is already been yours. Yes, God has been long-suffering in that he hasn't enacted that sentence, but one day he will. The judge of all the earth will see to it that you are condemned. And God spoke to Cain and he said to Cain, Cain, right now you're condemned. Right now at this very point in time, you're under the curse and the condemnation of God. Sinner, this evening, right now, right as you sit in this gospel service tonight in Sandown Free Presbyterian Church, you're under the curse of God. He that believeth not, John says, is condemned already. What a fearful, fearful thought tonight. Condemned already. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he says, talks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Well, here it is, right in verse number 11 of Genesis chapter 4. He's cursed from the ground. That cry that came up to God from the ground, the curse came up to Cain from the ground. Matthew Henry said that Cain found his punishment where he chose his portion and set his heart. And that's where, sinner, you'll always find your punishment, in the place that you choose to set your heart. You've chosen to set your heart in this world. You've chosen to set your heart in sin. You've chosen to set your affections on the things of this world. That's where you'll find your condemnation. The curse was upon him. You come into verse 12. Very quickly see what it was. See how it would be played out. Lord says, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. You see, the ground which was Cain's strength. What was Cain? Of course, he was a tiller of the ground. The ground which was Cain's strength and his livelihood now would become his downfall. His life and also his lifestyle was cursed from the ground, because in verse 12 it says, you'll be a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. In other words, Cain, you'll go from this point with no abiding place. You'll never find peace. You'll never find rest. You'll be a fugitive and you'll be a vagabond. You'll live from this point on a life of discontentment. And you'll never find satisfaction in the things of this old world. Now, we were looking at what Cain went on to do at the end of chapter 4 a few weeks ago on our Bible study on a Thursday night. Cain went on to put a brave face on it. And what did he do? He tried to build around himself this earthly empire. He forsook the ground and he started taking up building, and he built a city. He tried to build up a name for himself. What was he doing? He was trying to appease his conscience. Because his conscience from verse number 12 onwards is now affected. He couldn't find peace. Oh, he tried to go into the things of this world to find peace, but he couldn't find it. That's just what the world's doing tonight. They acknowledge that they cannot find peace in and of themselves, and so they go to the things of this world to find peace. Oh, listen, sinner. As you are under the wrath and under the condemnation of God and that sentence for sin, you will be miserable. Miserable. Oh, you might think tonight your life is all right and things are going okay. You can reject God all you want, but you know deep down within you there's something more. There's something not right. And you will be unsettled like Cain was. You'll be miserable like Cain was. Listen, how can you be at peace tonight? How can you be at peace tonight knowing that the wrath of God abides on your head, knowing that you're a condemned man, knowing that you're only one step away from death and from damnation? How can you be at peace with that reality? Look how it played out in Cain's life. We're only very quickly looking at these thoughts. In verse 13, he says to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Oh, he plays himself now the victim. "Oh Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." Cain was a dead man walking. Walking his way step by step to destruction. Sinner, tonight you're walking step by step closer to a lost eternity. And rather than acknowledging his sin and what he had done, now Cain feels sorry for himself. Listen, the way of the transgressor is hard, and sin pays high wages. Oh, Cain may have cut short his brother's life, and Cain may have lived a longer life than his brother, but Cain's final judgment was bound for hell. You will never be at peace under the sentence of sin. You will never know what it is to have true peace until you come and make your peace first of all with God. Cain lived, continued on in that life, rejecting God. He lived as a fugitive. He went into the land of Nod, which means a wanderer. He left the place of paradise and went in to a place of mayhem. Sinner, tonight, you're wandering, you're trying to find something in this world to satisfy and to appease your conscience. It'll never work. Because as you're under that verdict for sin, you will never find peace in this world until you come the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we want to come to now as we close. There is the speaking voice of the blood, the severe verdict of the blood, but now there is the supreme victory through the blood. Here in Genesis chapter 4, we have the first mention of the blood. But I want you to take you this evening to another mention of the blood. We've spoken on it before. And so we close with this thought this evening in Exodus chapter 12, another mention of the blood. This time it's not the blood of the avenger, but it is the blood of appeasement. It is the blood of the Passover lamb. The death angel was coming that night in Israel. And you know the story, I'm sure, how that the firstborn were under that sentence of death. And the only way that that sentence could be turned away was for the blood of the slain lamb, to be applied by faith. And what did the Lord say? As he came that night to that nation, he says, "I'll execute judgment." But he said something more. He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When I see the blood of the slain sacrifice lamb applied to the doorposts of your homes, the death angel will pass over and the sentence will be passed. Those who were under that death sentence, they would go free, they would live. And in that blood, as we have pointed out in the past, typifying and speaking of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it removes the guilt and it satisfies the wrath of God. There's the blood of sprinkling. There's the blood of the Savior speaking better things than that of Abel's. The blood of Abel cried out to Cain, "Avenge." The blood of Jesus Christ cries out, "Appeasement has been made. satisfaction has been made. I have died, and the sinner, the guilty sinner who comes acknowledging their sin, comes receiving, comes believing, that blood, my blood, the Lord Jesus Christ says, speaks peace to holy God. As God looks upon you this evening, is he able to say, when I see the blood, I'll pass over? Or are you still under that death sentence for sin tonight? Broken the law of God? Turned your back on God? Oh, like Cain, you don't want to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You don't want to acknowledge that you've done wrong before God. Oh, this evening I pray that tonight the scales will be taken off your eyes. And the hardness of your heart will be softened. And this night you would come and receive by faith the blood of Christ. Thank God tonight that there is that fountain opened in the house of David for sin and for all uncleanness. Praise God tonight for that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank God tonight for the blood of Christ that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you still under the sentence and the curse because of the broken law of God? Oh, tonight, in Christ there is forgiveness. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. Tonight there is pardon. Tonight there is salvation. But you trample under your feet tonight the blood of Christ. And you die rejecting Christ, that blood which would have cleansed you and saved you. On the day of judgment will rise up to condemn you. Which is it tonight? Are you for Christ? Are you coming to Christ? Or are you going to continue on and be like Cain? Lord, I'm all right. I haven't done anything. I'm the victim here. Come humbly, simply, reverently to the foot of the cross, and acknowledge tonight that before God you're a sinner. And realize tonight that the only way your sin can be atoned for and cleansed is through the precious blood of the Lamb. The blood speaks tonight. What does it say? Does it cry for vengeance because of the condemnation? Or does it cry for victory? Because the blood of Christ has been applied to your hearts. Come. Come. Christ tonight. Ere it be too late. Let's bow in prayer. As we close in prayer this evening, will you acknowledge that before God you are a sinner? Will you acknowledge before God that you're under that wrath, that curse for your sin? It was a just punishment, a proper punishment. Will you come tonight, humble yourself at the foot of the cross, and realize that before God you're lost, you're condemned. Cry unto him, Lord, save me. Will you? Will you come to Christ tonight and be saved? If you want to speak to us, you have a concern, make that known to us. We'll come this evening. Get under the blood. Get to Christ. Our eternal God and our Father,